Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. You are back at the spot, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And we are in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Not Regina.
That's good.
Okay, in Canada. I've been to Canada, but I've never been to Regina. I've been to Toronto and used to work in Banff and Alberta and Vancouver. But you know what she does, Brains? She is a small to mid-sized business consultant. Strategist. I'm going to ask her, what does this paradigm look like in 2022? We were just talking about business. And I was telling her I had a record-breaking year, but I had a record-breaking tax liability as well. It's a double-edged sword. How do we hedge that? Because in all honesty, I don't want to make the kind of money that I made last year. I'd rather kind of level off. But my accountant says, oh, bravo. You know, so I'm going to get Sherry's perspective on that. What we can do to edit and pivot and stay ahead of the game, stay ahead of the curve, because business is ever evolving. It's not what it used to be. Sherry has a great newsletter that goes out. She's got a program that she's offering to work with people. She's a keynote speaker, all of that. So I'm so excited to have her here with me on the edge. How are you, Sherry Knight?
I'm terrific. Thank you so much for asking. Glad
Absolutely.
To be here.
I know. It's wonderful. How's the weather there in Canada?
Actually, it's pretty good. Of course, we're in Celsius. So today was 17, but Saturday we had plus 28, and that was really nice.
Wow. Well, it is, I guess we're on Fahrenheit, and I think it's like 82. So, yeah, so it's really beautiful. I live in paradise here. I love San Diego, California. Have you ever been to the States?
Have and have been to San Diego. Love your zoo there.
Isn't it the best?
Yes, it is.
My grandchildren there. I couldn't walk the zoo. I sure couldn't. They couldn't get that sky tram or that. It's big. It's massive. It's massive.
It is.
So let's talk about the jungle of business.
That's a good way to put it.
Because it is a jungle out there, and we are all just running around in cages trying to figure it out. Tell us a little bit about your experience and your history in the world of business, Sherry.
Well, business is the kind of thing that you make it, right? There are days that are great. There are days that aren't so great. And let me tell you, if you're a business owner and you have too many of those not so great days, maybe it's time to rethink what you're doing. Maybe you're not in the right business, or maybe you shouldn't be in business at all.
Well, bravo. I'm glad you said that, because there's no disrespect in being a W-2 employee. And I tell people that all the time. Go to work, clock in, do your job, get your benefits, go home and be done with it. Let somebody else do it. Being a business owner and an entrepreneur are two of the hardest things you will ever be able to do.
Totally agree with you. Totally. Yeah.
How'd you find yourself in this space? What was your career before starting to do this consulting work?
Well, an interesting one. I was a teacher and I loved every moment of it. I taught in 3 provinces. I taught a variety of grades and it was wonderful. And one day I walked into the classroom and I turned on the lights and I went, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. I have no more energy to give these kids. And then I thought, well, okay, I haven't got time to think about this because the kids will be coming in. I need to get myself organized, etc. So I went home that night and thought about it and talked with my husband at the time. And with that, went in the next day and handed in my resignation. This was a February day, dull, cloudy, cold. and handed in my resignation for the end of June because I didn't think it was fair to leave the kids at that time of year. But it's an interesting thing because here's what happened, April. So many other teachers were saying to me, but you've only got 16 more years until you retire. And I'm thinking, wow, can you imagine me teaching your children, your grandchildren, after realizing that I was finished and sticking it out for another 16 years? And that's what people do, not just as teachers, but as in business as well. You know, we've all done those things that we go, wow, should I still be here? And if that's the question, then the answer is no.
It is no, but you know what, Sherry? It takes courage. Because again, you seem like a very savvy woman. So before you just walked out, you had some key things in place. You had some sort of financial reserve. You had, benefits, I'm thinking. You had a spouse at that time. You had all the pieces in place. You had a safety net. People don't have that.
Not everybody does. And, you know, to be realistic, when you go into business for yourself, you don't have that safety net necessarily. And so, you know, that idea in terms of what you say, and you're right, at that point in time, I didn't have as great a safety net as I should have had. However, I did have one. When I'm in business now and I decide to leave business, I don't have a safety net at all, right? Because we don't have all of the health benefits necessarily. We don't have the, I think you call it 501K. Is that the right word in the States?
401k.
401K. I was close.
Yeah.
But you know, we don't necessarily have those things when we're in business. And especially if you're in business at the beginning of the business, you're getting things organized, getting them put together, et cetera. So it does, it takes a lot of angst, I guess, in terms of looking at it and going, oh my gosh, what if I don't? But what if you don't do it, regardless of all those things? And so there's that challenge. And I know when I left teaching, I got a phone call saying, what are you going to do? And I went, I don't know. I had no idea what I would do. And it was the media. They said, come and talk to us. We've got a job for you. So that was very fortunate. I fell into things, but not everybody gets to fall into something. When you go into business, you make it for yourself. You make it for your employees if you choose to have employees. You make it for your partners, whatever it happens to be. And it takes that mindset that says, I can do it.
Well,
And I am.
let me ask you something. You said you flipped on the light.
Yeah, I did,
There
literally.
had to be something else brewing, okay? And this is just for me. Just you just had enough. In the back of your mind, had you been seeing all those little kids and hearing them in your sleep and thinking about the test and the administration? I mean, just that aha moment. Were you having a midlife experience?
I love what you're
What was
saying.
going, there was just nothing going on, and you just said, I'm done.
Absolutely nothing. It was such a shock to me that I felt that I was done because that whole feeling, let's face it, of it was burnout, right?
Right,
If you know the
absolutely.
words now, I didn't know the words then, but I look back and that's exactly what it was. And there was not one inkling that that would happen to me any day, never mind that day. It was such a shock. And as I say, the kids, you know, they were going to come in. Nothing was going to stop that. So I needed to be able to go, okay, put this aside. Don't think about it until you go home tonight, kind of thing. And it was just an absolute shock. But something I've learned just recently, that might help other people who go through this, and that is that true leaders make decisions within 30 seconds. And I can look back and go, ha-ha, I made a decision. I'm not sure it was the decision that was the best or whatever, but I made the decision. I needed to leave, and I needed to leave now, not next week, not next month.
Well, you had an epiphany. And, you know, I tell women in business, this burns my bonnet. They can't make a decision. Indecisive. It has to be co-signed by someone else. It has to be validated by outside influences. We have to do this. We have to do this. Yada-da, yada-da. Okay, I get it. But if you decide to go into business, you're already establishing yourself as a risk taker.
Yes.
And there is cause and effect. And there are going to be some pitfalls because you may be a solopreneur, but you still cannot run the business by yourself.
That's right.
You do not know every aspect of it. You're not an accountant. You're not a marketer. You're not a salesperson. You're not in production. Branding, all of these are key components. Wouldn't you agree?
Totally, totally. And that's why so many times an individual has to make sure that they are looking at whatever needs to be looked at with an outside eye, because we're not everything and we shouldn't be everything. We want to put our energy, our focus on that area where we're really good.
That's right. That's right. And that, and you, and being innovative, I have been listening to Think and Grow Rich for the fourth time, for the fourth time. There's a nugget, Sherry, every single time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that book was written in 1950.
Well, and Napoleon Hill was an amazing man, and he got his start through Andrew Carnegie.
Yep.
And the fact was, he was a journalist. He had the opportunity to go out and interview some of the richest people in the world. And he got Andrew Carnegie, who said to him, I'm going to give you a question. I would like you to come and work with me. Nothing will happen, et cetera, for the first whatever length of time. Will you come or will you not?
And he made a decision right there on the spot.
Exactly, he did.
Okay. Yes. But what happens when you make, you're a risk taker. I don't know if you've been to Las Vegas, but I go to Las Vegas. And I don't like the slot machines. I like to shoot dice.
Ooh, I'm impressed.
Yeah, or play roulette. If I'm going to play, I'm going to play and I want to win big. But sometimes you lose. But in those challenging times are your best learnings.
Always.
Okay.
We never learn when everything's going well.
No. And we take it for granted. You would not know success if you did not know failure.
True.
You know. And so when a person is, making this decision and they're licking their wounds because they've made a mistake, what would you tell them to keep them encouraged and to keep with the momentum if they still want to be an entrepreneur?
Well, number one, I say be unstoppable. That's the name of my book, right?
That's right. Let's see it. Wait, let's see it.
There.
Look at that, brains. It is Unstoppable. 7 Steps. Wait.
Yes. Oops.
That's okay. That's all right. Unstoppable. 7 Steps to Living Your Personal Best. Now, that's your personal best, not your business best,
no,
but your personal best.
It's the
Absolutely.
Same because you need to be unstoppable. I have had the highs. I've had the lows. I've been bankrupt. I bought a business. I didn't look after it. I put somebody else in and I didn't do what I should have done. Okay. I'm so much smarter now. But what I could have done after that was sit back and lick my wounds, as you're saying, and I could have just coasted along instead of going, okay, I screwed up on that one. Now where to? Now what do I do? And let's go forward and build things again. So it's that element about being unstoppable, about the mindset that says, I am successful. I am doing the things I love to do. I am earning the kinds of dollars that are important to me. Those are things that are really, I don't know, they go by the wayside when things go bad, and we have to remember to bring them back.
And then sometimes, brains, you have a partner and you're not on the same page. Yes. Luckily for Sherry and me, Mr. Magnificent, he has been my cheerleader the whole time. But again, he's been my safety net. He's been my support. And I have sold all kinds of things. I've been brand ambassadors. I've traveled, you know, worked in corporate America. I've done a lot. I've lived. But when you are not in synchronicity with your partner, it can be a conflict. Sometimes it even dissolves a marriage and you struggle. So you want to get the buy-in of the other person that you're with. You really want their support, but you need to have your stuff, you know, your ducks in a row, your business plan, your blueprint. You have some matrix, you have some benchmarking to prove that this is a go. You might want to get a franchise in a sandwich shop or something. Look at the competition, look at the location. All these things need to be done with a business strategist. Tell me some of the things that you do with your clients.
Really good question. Well, one of the things that we look at is, what's your avatar, right? Who is your client? Mm-hmm. And let's get really dig down deep on that, because yes, okay, I perhaps want somebody who is a family person. I want them to, you know, earn maybe $100,000 a year. I want them to have 2.5 children and a dog. Let's get down to a lot of the other elements that are so important to that when we're looking at the avatar. You know, who do they congregate with? What's their network? What kind of magazines do they get? What do they watch on TV? What books do they read? You know, really getting a good idea of who we want as a client. Not necessarily that they will be the client, but they will be who we want as a client. And once you make those decisions, they go out into the universe and they start to attract the kind of people that you're after. So that's one aspect. The other aspect that we look at in terms of strategy is, what kind of dollars do you want to bring in?
Absolutely.
Remember, if you are going to have a business, you want to rub shoulders with the people who are making the kind of dollars that you want to make.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because
if you look at it, look at the five people that you spend the most time with, you probably make the same kind of dollars they do. So if you want more dollars, spend time with different people who are earning different incomes, right? And so we look at all of those elements. We look at the marketing. We look at the service that you're going to offer. Because let's face it, if you own a business, if you're the sole proprietor and it is your business and you're the only one in it, you know the quality of service that you
absolutely
give.
Absolutely.
Then when you hire people, wow, that makes a big difference, because oftentimes they are not giving the same service that you did. So that becomes that training aspect, that coaching aspect. Those are really important key parts of running any business. You become the leader. You become the person who has the foresight and the vision, etc. But if you leave those other people behind, you will fail. There's no question about that.
Right. And customer service is paramount.
Oh, it is.
And you have to, in this environment, you have to sell and market to value. Mm-hmm. And you're not the low-cost leader. You need to be competitive. Well, you know, everyone tries to undercut, feeling, you know, that they're going to grab hold to the business. But sometimes, you know, I look at that. I don't like cheap, and I watch what I get for free. You know, I don't want anything that's cheap. I don't even like how that word lays on my tongue.
Fair enough.
You know, I want to be at the cutting edge. I want to be able to, you know, negotiate that price point within, you know, two or three different degrees, because that lets me know that you are in competition with the other individuals. What does your customer want? Don't overtalk it. Don't overthink it. Ask them what they want. Do beta groups. Do some market research. Do some surveys. You can do surveys online, SurveyMonkey for free, 10 questions. You have to collect that data. Data is so big. Do you see why all these social media companies are in so much trouble? It's the data. They want to know, just like Sherry said, where are you shopping? What are you buying? What books are you reading? Are you using a certain Visa card? Are you using a certain bank? You know, all of these things, they cluster and they put us together in these, I call them pressure cookers. But that is what business is today. Where do you see women in 2022? Because again, we're in the age of Aquarius and we're in 5G. It's a whole different frequency now. After COVID, everyone had a lot of time to sit and look at themselves because you couldn't get out the house. But learning in that process who you are, doing some strategy, this is now the time of the great resignation, just like you. And I've done. People are just saying, the heck with this noise, I quit. Where do you see women in this space?
Well, women have the opportunity now to get out there and spread their wings, because no longer do you have to run a business as a brick and mortar store. We can do everything online. I mean, I've got clients in Bangladesh. I've got clients in the UK, the States, etc. It doesn't matter where you are anymore. What matters is, are you delivering? And like you said about being cheap, do not price your product, your service, whatever it happens to be. You don't price it at the bottom. You know your value. You price it there, and that's going to attract the people who are at that level, as opposed to the people who are at a different level. So if you think you're worth $10, then that's the kind of people you will attract. If you think you're worth $100 or $1,000 or $1,000,000, those are the kinds of people you will attract as your customers.
You're preaching. Conscious. Yes, ma'am. Think and grow rich. It's about manifestation, and you had put it together very simplistically, but it was a strategic plan that my mentor taught me a long time ago. She says, when you start looking at your strategic plan, before you even go to your business plan, look at the outcome first. See yourself sitting at that beautiful maple desk with a leather chair, much like Sherry's. Beautiful pictures on the wall, beautiful fragrances in the air. The checks are coming across your desk that you have to sign off on. You're thinking about how you're going to grow. You already see the end result, and it creates a memory in your mind. The second thing is you look at your resources. Who's going to help me get there? Who's going to be my mentor? Who has the equipment? Who has the know-how? Who is going to be on my team? All those things are important. And the last thing you think of, brains, is the money, because money is energy. And once you have gotten that machine to working, the money is going to fall right in line. Am I telling the truth?
You bet. You certainly are. And I like the fact that you say money is the last thing that you start to think about, because that's where the result is when you have everything else in place. And it takes time and it takes energy in order to get the other things in place. But once you've got it, everything's rosy.
Now, small businesses, and maybe not so much mid-sized businesses, but give me a range. First of all, what do you consider a dollar amount as a small size versus a mid-sized business in today's environment?
From a small-sized business, I'm looking at an income somewhere in the vicinity of $100,000.
Okay.
Mid-size is $100,000 to somewhere in the vicinity of $1,000,000. After that, we're talking generally bigger business.
Okay. So you're in this space. Brains, can I encourage you to pay your taxes? Let me tell you, it's a first world problem. It really is. But when I step back and I look at all of the luxuries that I have, clean water, I can go in there in my kitchen right now and have everything from filet mignon to a tuna sandwich, to turn your lights on, to be able to go to the doctor, to put gas in your car. All of these things are really, in today's environment, a luxury. I was in Los Angeles and I drove down the street and I literally pulled over and was in tears. It looked like a war-torn third country, tents everywhere, garbage everywhere, homeless, drug addicts, it is, and I'm talking about everywhere, everywhere. And then, you know where I was going? I was going to PH 103, Penthouse 103. And when this woman and I had this meeting, and I looked out her window, and I saw all the devastation below, it made me sick to my stomach. And we sat there and we talked about paying your taxes. Yes, you know, taxation without representation. Money is energy. You will get it back. But if you don't do it, believe me, baby, they will take it in a blink of an eye. And then you have to justify how to get it back. You know? So be a good, kind, giving person. Give someone an opportunity. If you are in a position to give a hand up and a hand out, do it, because you cannot go wrong. Mentor younger people. If you see someone that has some potential, give them what you know for free. I mentor so many people. I talk to them on the phone and I can hear where they can't give me a 30-second elevator speech. Come on, before I hang up with you, let me help you with that. You never know, that can turn somebody's life around. Mm-hmm. What do you do to mentor? How are you philanthropic, Sherry? I can see it all in your face.
Oh, dear. I work with a lot of individuals from the perspective of where it is that they want to go. Mm. So when I get a call from somebody, I just had a call this afternoon. I have no idea where to go. I either want another job or I want to be able to start a business. So we chatted about, you know, the pluses and minuses of both of those things. And it's that aspect about working with individuals, with men or women, doesn't matter. They're all in this because they want to have a better life than they have now. You just have to remember that if you choose to go into business, you have to figure out how to have that balance. And I don't like the word balance because I don't think there is such a thing in life as balance, but where you're going to focus now and where you're going to focus later to build that business. So that element about, yes, give back, help people make decisions, help them make the visuals that they want to have for the future. Because if you can keep that in your mind, if you can keep it up here, that's something that the universe helps you create. You got it. It helps you.
What do you do when you sit down and you start developing your own personal goals for your business? What are some of the strategies that you do or some of the things that you look at and are important to you?
When I'm looking at my goals, I look at the vision of where do I want my life to be in 10, 20, 25 years. And so I look at it from that perspective. What's going to be around me? How do I think in terms of being that particular age? What will happen for me? And then I back that up and look at it from the perspective of what are some of the things that I need to do now? So what are my goals for this year to be able to ensure that that's working towards that vision that I have for the future? So put it into perspective, and then I repeat it regularly every day. I write it out every day in terms of what it is that's going to make a difference in my life. And it helps this whole thing, April, it helps from a perspective of when somebody asks me to do something, I can very quickly go, but that doesn't fit with the vision that I want in the future.
Right. It's not in alignment.
So I don't go with it. I only go with the things that are going to fit that vision of where I plan to be in the future.
And giving yourself the ability to change your mind.
You bet. Always.
My mother used to tell me sometime, well, you didn't say that. I said, Mama, I have a right to change my mind. You do.
We do.
People don't do that. They go along to get along. And you get jacked up. Yep. Sometimes you have to stop, reflect. You know, people that do vision boards, for example. I do vision boards. But when I do mine, I put obstacles there. I put stop signs there. Because sometimes you have to step back and revisit it. Yep. You have to restructure it. You got to go a different direction. Or sometimes you just have to sit and be still.
Well, you're right about that. And I do vision boards. I teach people how to have a vision board. But I suggest we do them every 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
Because of those changes that, you know, oh, I was in this direction. I love teaching. Duh. No more teaching. You know, things change. And they can change that fast. And that's okay.
Well, you know, nurses, senior citizens, and teachers are my favorite people on the planet. They really are, because a lot of times, well, now here in America, you know, teachers got such a bad rap during this COVID, and they're still struggling. They didn't want to take the vaccine. So you're here, higher tenure. And they say, okay, out you go.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's unfair. These teachers here in America did not sign up to be mass monitors or bulletproof vests, because you hear about all the gun things that are happening. They are putting their own personal finance into the classrooms. They're not getting paid what they want. Then you look at nurses. Same thing with nurses. They didn't want to take the vaccine. Out you go.
Okay.
We lost so many because of that. It's a personal choice. I get it. It's healthcare. And then the senior citizen. Once you get 70, out you go. People don't think you have any value. But it's a lot different now, because I was at a meeting about 3 weeks ago where they are really valuing, in today's environment, the more mature employee. They are hiring 50, 55, 60. So don't think that you're out of the market for a job. They're looking at your stability, your longevity, your ingenuity. They're looking at all of that. So don't discount yourself when you get to a certain age. Wouldn't you agree? Well,
I do agree. And it's a good thing for you to say that. The interesting part that I find, because I've worked with many seniors, and in Canada, you have more difficulty getting a job after the age of 45.
What?
70. Oh, yeah. So there's this element about, oh, I'm going to have to, you know, get you trained up, blah, 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 and then you're going to retire, whatever it is. So it becomes a negative. But it's us, it's the senior people who need to be going in and proving and showing that they are capable, that they are not out to pasture, as some people say. Mm-hmm. So that onus is on that individual to show an employer and to be very, very outgoing and do things differently, etc. So the employer can now look and go, oh, you have got a lot to offer me, mm-hmm. as opposed to that high paycheck, because that's how so many employers look at people who are a little long, we say a long in the tooth.
Right.
And they say, oh yeah, I could get, you know, two people for your salary, or three or four people for your salary if they were younger. And you can, there's no question. The discrepancy is that younger individual hasn't had the experiences.
That's right.
And therefore takes more time.
The work ethic. When I was in corporate America, I had one of my employees have the nerve to tell me that she had been out drinking with her friends and partying with her friends. She wasn't going to be in for the next 2 days. She didn't say one. She said 2 days, just as bold. And I looked at the phone like, well, what do I do with this?
What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah. And it didn't care. You know, great job, didn't care, knew we had a deadline to do, but her partying took priority. That's one situation. But also now with millennials, it is a different learning curve. They don't care about the things that we cared about. Oh, we want the big house and we want the nice car and, you know, we're saving for our retirement. Millennials are living in the moment. They want to be mobile. They want to be able to work from their device, be it a laptop or their telephone. They don't want a big house. They want a tiny house. They want a little car that runs off electricity. So what we have to do as entrepreneurs that are more seasoned, or business owners that are hiring these individuals, is to take that into consideration, because the workforce is different. The demands are different. And it's not that they're lazy. We've just taught them, you know, a different way. We've spoiled them. Mm-hmm. We've given them a lot more devices and options and choices and technology. You know, the way that they communicate. I'll be in the other room and my daughter will text me and I just come up out the ground. Oh, it just annoys me so. I'm saying, this is so disrespectful. Come and talk to me. Human interaction has changed. Artificial intelligence is big now. You know, the things that are on the stock market to invest in are different. Even the currency with cryptocurrency.
Yes. Yeah.
All of it is changing. So, you know what? We need to get in line too and not judge, you know, our counterpart because they're 20 or 25 years younger than us. Engage in them. talk to them and see how we can collaborate, how you can teach me how to TikTok. I still don't know how to TikTok.
But you're right. There is so much they can teach us and so much we can teach them. So that it's an equal playing field out there if you choose to have it that way.
So let me ask you some fun questions before we conclude, because I love to do this. This is my favorite. Sherry Knight, if you were an appliance in the kitchen, what appliance would you be?
Ah, I would be the Vitamix because it does things fast.
I love it. I love it. And you can heat it up and you can make something cold as well. I think I'd be the refrigerator because I just want to chill.
Wonderful.
What are three things that you absolutely cannot live without?
Oh, interesting. Fireplaces. I absolutely love fireplaces. And for me, shoes. I own too many and I don't want to change that whatsoever. And the other is my nails. I love having my nails. Well, and I do them myself.
Beautiful.
It's really important to me to have them colored and comfortable and not chipped.
What would you tell a 25-year-old Sherry Knight?
Oh boy, that's a really interesting one, because I think about that a lot when I'm dealing with younger individuals. One of the things that I would say to the younger people is, don't let the negatives get you down. Always get that mindset that you can be unstoppable, like my book, just keep going, because things do tend to what? Even out. Things do tend to get better. But remember, and you said this earlier, April, remember the negatives that happen are there because we need to learn something. And so learn it and then carry on.
You know, absolutely.
Not just a direct trajectory. Ooh, that was a tough word to get off my
I know.
Tongue there.
Because it's going straight to the heart of the matter. I get it.
Yeah, but it's up and down and up and down. And that's life. It's not just business. That's life. And we learn so much when things go wrong. We hardly ever learn when things are going right. We just carry on.
What's left on your life list, or one of the things on your life list to tick off?
Oh, well, it's interesting you say life list. I like that, because people talk about bucket list and how, what's on it.
I'm not going nowhere.
I don't really have a bucket list, but one of the things that I would like to do, I've had the privilege of working on every continent except Antarctica. I would like to be invited to speak, to consult, et cetera, in Antarctica one of these days.
Wow.
So that's one of the things that I would love to see.
Oh, that's good. And what do you want your legacy to be?
My legacy? I steal this from my husband because I think it's so appropriate. I care. That's what I want my legacy to be, that I care enough to help other people be the best they can be.
Well, That's it, brains. She cares. Tell my brains how they can care for you, how they can purchase a copy of your book, how they will be able to consult with you. Brains, and I tell you this all the time, okay? I search the world over for the best and the brightest. I vet my guests before I bring them on the edge. I've been doing this for 17 years. I'm not looking for sloppy seconds. I'm looking for impactors and influencers. People that are going to pour into you on an organic level and watch you spring up and blossom like a lotus flower. Take advantage of these free consultations. Take advantage of looking at the book. Take advantage of the 15-minute chats. You can't do anything but be better than you were before. Okay, now I give you the information. Sherry gives you the information. If you opt not to use it, it's a missed opportunity. How can they get in contact with you, Sherry?
Oh, excellent. Well, a couple of different ways. One, email me, sherry@dimension11.com. S-H-E-R-R-Y at dimension11.com. So there's that element. They can even phone me if they like. One, because we are North American, right? 1-306-586-2315. That is my office number. It is not a cell number. And so those are two ways that they can get in touch with me. And I would love to have people who want to purchase the book. Yeah, go on Amazon. It's available. But I have something here for people today. And that, April, is the daily mindset affirmations, because I really believe in mindset. And so there's three areas here. One is your personal element, your dreams. So affirmations about that, affirmations about abundance, bringing abundance into your life, and affirmations about money. And there is no fee for this. This is absolutely free to you to be able to take and use. But yes, I would love to chat with anybody that would like to talk to me. And no, I will not sell you anything. I will just chat with you and help you in terms of what we want to do. And then after that, if you wanted to work with me, wonderful.
Absolutely.
Not a necessity. We just
But you know, and I say this, sales is not sleazy. Sales is a psychology. Everything is a sales job. Your personality, your charm, your conversation, you know. Now, you can sell it, but it's different if you can get paid on it. Because a lot of people don't know how to close the deal. They get to a certain point and they think, oh, okay, this person is just going to automatically write me a check for $1,000. But they've never asked for the business. You have to ask for the business. You have to tell the people what they're going to get. You've got to perform. You've got to deliver. And then you can cash the check. And this one right here, it's worth cashing the check.
Well, just to let people know, most recently I was working with one of my clients, and we were able in a very short time, within 3 months, to take her from 0 to 5,000% increase. There you go.
Okay. Now there is a testimonial for you. And if you don't believe it, all you got to do is test it out. Try it. Take a look at it. You know, because when you're making that kind of change and impact in someone's business life, you've made an impact in their personal life. And that's what you have done on so many levels, starting with the children that you educated. And again, I thank you from the bottom of my socks, because my heart just isn't deep enough.
Oh, thank you. Anybody that wants to go on my website, www.dimension11.com. It's real easy.
Check it out, brains. Thank you so much, Sherry. I need you guys to go in and close the business right here. I need you to like, love, share, and subscribe to On the Edge and to Dimension 11, because we're providing you information. You're digging it. You sat here and you spent, what, about 35 minutes with me and Sherry listening to all this great advice. So show your commitment, show your love and your support. Like, love, and share. Thank you so much, Sherry. Come back and visit me again on the edge. You are an absolute jewel.
Thank you.
Bye, brains.